did enjoy the song service tonight very much, and each of you that are here tonight are an encouragement to me. And I believe an encouragement to one another. I think that's very important in a church assembly. When God's old children come and gather together, your attendance is not only good for you, but it's good for others of God's old children when they see you here, and it's an encouragement. I often think of the words of Peter when he says, "Let us go fishing," and all of them said, "We'll go with you." That was leading them in the wrong direction. But when God's little children do come to the house of God, it's an encouragement to one another to see you come in. I know it's an encouragement to me, and I'm sure it is to all that see you tonight. And we're not here to be seen of men. It's not our desire to come to as the Pharisees did. I hope that's not any of our intent. But it's our duty. The Lord has called us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but to present our bodies, and that's not just on the meeting time, but that's every day of our lives, to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. And the Bible says it's a reasonable service. It's not unreasonable for us to do that. The Lord is the one who's given us life, and he's given us that life to live, to honor and praise and glorify him. We are his witnesses. We're those he's called from nature's darkness to his marvelous light, that we should show forth the praises of him who has done that for us. And as we sang tonight, the Lord has been so good to me, I want to praise his name. So I hope that's why each of us are here tonight. If it is not, then we can ask the Lord to forgive us and try from this point on. The time to do the right thing is right now. And ask the Lord, just help me to look to thee, thy way, not mine, O Lord. Whether the path is smooth or rough, or whether it's straight or crooked or whatever it might be, we know that God is in shady green pastures. The Lord leads us in this old world. And we sometimes it's through the valley and sometimes it's on the mountaintop. But wherever he is where we desire to be. Walking close to him, needing his presence, needing his direction, needing all that comes from him, because he indeed is our life and our peace. The passage of scripture that's on my mind tonight is the same one that was on my mind, I think, last week when I made an effort to speak to you. So we're going to be looking at it again tonight. You just pray for me as we look at it together. Not thinking about it in the sense of, well, I need to pick up where I left off, but it's where I feel led tonight. So I pray that the Lord would just bless me and bless you, that we might be fed together from God's Word. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to read to you from the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. I'm really going to start in the end of chapter 7 at verse 24. Romans chapter 7 and verse 24, and read about 6 verses into Romans 8. Romans 7:24, this is the writings of the Apostle Paul. And he says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." That's Romans 7, verse 24 and verse 25. He goes on and says in chapter 8, in verse 1, he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace." That 7th chapter, the end of it, we mentioned some last week, and as you read that, you can see clearly that the Apostle Paul is talking here as a regenerated child of God. I say that tonight, though it should be clear to all of us, there are many in the world who think, as the Apostle Paul is writing this seventh chapter of the book of Romans, the Lord had not yet completely brought about his regeneration, and that he was in that process of being regenerated, and he was coming under the first convictions of the Holy Spirit. That would be ridiculous. I don't mean to be harsh with that. But the Apostle Paul here is writing by inspiration of God. It was moved by the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Paul also wrote Romans 1 through 6. He also wrote everything after chapter 7 and everything concluding. The Apostle Paul is a regenerated child of God talking about the experience of a little child of grace. I don't know exactly which hymn it is, but might be a several of them that we have in our hymn books that has a subtitle under it, The Christian's Experience. I can't remember the hymn, but it's really talking about much of what the Apostle Paul put down here in Romans chapter 7 towards the end of it. What he has under consideration is the warfare that takes place in the life of a little regenerated child of God between the flesh and the spirit, between that carnal part of us, that old natural fleshly part of us. That's what the word carnal is. It's talking about your flesh. And then the Spirit of God, the inner man, the new creature that has been made new in the new birth. And that new birth didn't come by the work of the old man. It came by the work of Almighty God. And we've been acted upon by the work of God. And the Apostle Paul is talking about really that conflict that's in his life. That's like a battle going on. He's got two natures. One's leading him down the wrong way, his way. And the other is leading him in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. David knew what that was. Because when he talked about the Lord who is my shepherd, he says he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. There's a part of us that has been that work of God in our hearts. Now, we are all the work of God in the sense that he made us. He made us naturally and he made us spiritually. But we fell in the natural creation that we were made. In Adam, we sinned. In Adam, we died. When Adam sinned and transgressed God's law, we all who were under our federal head, Adam, died in Adam, and we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and we have we are in captivity under that law of sin and death, and we remain in that captivity until something is done for us by the grace of God. And the Apostle Paul in the 8th chapter talks about what's being done. That's already been done in chapter 7, and he's talking about the results of that, where there's still this battle that's going on. And I know you're very aware of that tonight, that battle that goes on. When you would do good, you find evil present with you. And even when you're in a place where you ought to be, like a meeting house on a Saturday night, we still have those mind conflicts that are going on. Sometimes men get the idea, well, if I just do this and do that and do other things, I'm going to be free of all that. We're going to be free of it one day, but not while we're here. Over in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, he says this in verse 20. He says, "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope." Now, what that's really saying is that God, it's God's will and God's purpose for us right now to go through this battle. Because he's put us here in this world and he didn't take us all the way home. He didn't call sin to be, but he suffered it to be. And he has suffered us to fight this battle. And I don't understand all about that, but I know this. He made us subject to vanity. And it's not willingly. That means it would be our choice. If you and I had our choice tonight, I'd like to be able to be free at this very moment of this old flesh and the sin that's so mixed with everything that I do. And when I come to the Word of God, I'd like to have a complete understanding about it. And then when I do understand it, I'd like to not have pride to deal with that causes me to maybe get a little puffed up when I do. Even when I get to find out something, the next thing you know, I get a little proud. Well, look what I know now. You know? And I have that battle always going on. Even when I go to church and I say something to someone, sometimes I'm more worried about the appearance or somebody. My mind is not, and I believe I'm not alone in this. I believe we all have that battle that we constantly fight. Even to the point that you can get discouraged about it and wonder, as the hymn writer said, and it may be in that very hymn, Christian Experience, am I His or am I not? Could someone like this really belong to the Lord? Well, when you get to doubting that and wondering that about yourself, that's a good evidence that you belong to Him. Because I don't believe those that don't belong to Him ever think and worry about, well, do I belong to Him or not? I don't think that's on their mind. I don't think that's their concern. They have no love for God. Let's say it this way. We would have no love for God. We would have no desire for God. We'd not be able to change our mind. All the good preaching we heard today would never have changed our mind and caused us to want to love Him, where we, without the grace of God, are in debt and we are sold in sin. We're in bondage. We're in captivity. We're bound by the law of sin and death. We're under the bondage of Satan. We're under the bondage of self. We can't change our minds. We can't turn and do another thing. As impossible as it is for a leopard to change his spots, or an Ethiopian to change the color of his skin, it's impossible for those who are accustomed to do evil to turn and do good. That's why all the Arminian theories in this world that say man have to do something in order to get life, in order to follow Jesus, cannot be correct, because of the impossibility of us doing it or even wanting to do it. We can't even hear it. The reason is we're dead spiritually. We're alive naturally, but we're dead spiritually until God works on our hearts. The Apostle Paul says, "O wretched man that I am," because he recognized that that it's God who's worked in me. I have a law in my mind that I love the things of God, but then I see another law in my members bringing me into captivity, the law of sin which is in my members. And he comes down and he says, because of that conflict and because of that battle, he says, "O wretched man that I am." Notice he didn't say, "O wretched man that I used to be." Last week I kind of tried to talk about, "O wretched man that I used to be." Because he could have said that. Because that's what we were. Not one of us made up our minds to follow the Lord. Not one of us made the first step to follow Him. None of us chose God. None of us changed our mind. None of us got ourselves out of the state. No man could reach down to the depths we were in and lift us up. There was none could help. We were beyond help and beyond hope except for one. And that was the one that the Lord sent here into this world, who was completely equipped to finish the work the Father gave Him to do. And He did that. And the Apostle Paul gets to Romans 8 and just gets real excited about it. And he says, "Oh, how wonderful it is that we are no longer under condemnation." But he's here at the end of chapter 7, he says, "O wretched man that I am." In other words, I see this conflict and I've tried. I want to walk better. I want to talk better. But even when I would do good, I find evil present with me. I want to, as the old body is fighting us right now. You know, even as we're making an effort to speak, you got your old flesh that kind of wants to wander. You have the world that we have trouble. We get all kinds of trouble. I've known about some troubles this week, and it can rob you of your joy and your peace and your health and all kinds of things, because you get overwhelmed and you think I can't make it. And we know from the scripture that we do have the sentence of death in ourselves. In verse 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Here's where the Apostle Paul was saying, "O wretched man that I am." And here he's saying, "In me there is no help." And I want to point that out tonight. I want you to know that in me there's no help for you, and you there's no help for me, other than, you know, operating in the Spirit. Over in Psalm 18, I'm going to give you this verse because I shared this with Sister Judy tonight. Little sister was down. She felt like I'm not going to be able to make it. And I read what David said in Psalm 18 and verse 29. And it might sound strange to be saying that to a little sister who's in her bed at the nursing home. But here David says, "For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall." You listen to that verse for just a minute. What David is really saying in that verse is that I have done amazing things, but I've never done any of them on my own. He says, "But by thee, for by thee I have run through a troop." Would it have been impossible for Brother David to run through a troop? Absolutely not. Not without the Lord. And that means not only run to them, but run through them. Wipe them out. Take them out. I mean, thousands. David was a mighty warrior. You know how David was a mighty warrior? It wasn't because he was trained and got everything just straight. He was just a lad when he stood before the giant Goliath. But that giant fell because the power of God was with David. And here's what David said. Notice what he said. He said, "By thee I have run through a troop." Get that. And then he says, "And by my God have I leaped over a wall." I used to think I could jump some things, you know. I can't even hardly climb over a wall now, much less leaping over a wall. And I'm telling you, as impossible as that would be for me physically tonight, me making it in this world on my own is an impossibility for me tonight. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying when he says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." He didn't leave it there. Looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble," that is our tribulation, "which came to us in Asia." And you can read about this in Acts 19 when you get a chance. Read about all that was going on with the Apostle Paul as he went preaching the gospel. And everywhere he went, he faced persecution and trouble and tribulations. And the Apostle Paul ran through the troop. And he leaped over the wall. Now you said, did he literally do that? No. But I'm telling you, God took care of Paul, didn't he? You know who's taking care of you and me up to this point? As we face life's troubles and heartaches and problems and all that we've gone through, you know who's taking care of you? Who's taking care of me? It wasn't us. It wasn't me taking care of you or you taking care of me. We'd do what we could for each other. But we still get a little tired and lazy sometimes, and I'm glad it's not us, aren't you? It's the God of heaven who is never weary. He's never without knowledge to know what to do, when to do it, and how to do it, and he does it according to his own will and his own way, and it's in always the best interest of God's children. And that's the one who has your dad when he goes to have the pacemaker in, who had my little girl while she was at the hospital when I couldn't do anything, who has that little girl right now and that little boy whose hand's there. We don't know the outcome of that. Sometimes God moves in ways we don't understand and things happen we don't understand, but we know this, they're in God's hands. And if they're in God's hands, I say they're okay. What about you? And by his power, I can run through a troop and I can leap over a wall. Oh, Brother Gary, 300 some pounds, leaping over a wall. Listen, there are things we can't do on our own. But in the Lord and by his power, we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. He says, "We would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came unto us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure." That's some good language in the King James Bible. That means he's burdened. But it wasn't just a burden. And I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. He's pressed. Have you been pressed? Pressure. You feel pressure? Sometimes it feels like the pressure just the next time the phone rings, pressure. Talking to Brother Jimmy the other night about his blood pressure, and I said something to him about a little more air in his balloon. He didn't really understand what I was saying. But I remember a DARE officer that came talking about stress to my kids in the fifth grade, and he used a balloon, and he said every time something happens, he blew a little more pressure in the balloon, and a little more pressure, and the balloon got bigger bigger and bigger. And it was a pretty good point of how life troubles and problems and circumstances build up. And the next thing you know, you feel like I just can't take one more puff. But by the power of God, by the grace of God, he can cause your balloon to hold up, or he can cause the air to go out of your balloon. He can supply and will supply when we look to Him. In Him is life and peace. When you and I try it our way, the way of that way, the carnal mind is death. But in Him is life and peace. And that's an important thing for us tonight to remember. He said this, that we were pressed out of measure. You know what He meant? It means I got so much going on I can't handle it. Can you relate? Now, the Apostle Paul was preaching the gospel. He was walking in the will of God. He was going among God's people sharing the good news. And it seemed like trouble was on every hand. But here's the good news. By the power of God, he was able to do that faithfully. And you and I can read about it tonight in the Bible, of how God took care of the Apostle Paul. But here he's saying, I'm pressed out of measure. He says, above strength. In other words, it's more than I can handle. So when you get to feeling like it's more than you can handle, you're absolutely right. Just say with David. Just say with the Apostle Paul, oh wretched man that I am. But don't stop there. It's good to say that. I'll show you why it's good. And I know you know it, but I want to show you why it's good to say that also. It says, he was pressed out of measure, above strength. And listen to what he says. Insomuch that we despaired even of life. He had gotten to the point that he wondered whether I even want to keep living or not. And am I going to continue to live? Am I going to make it through this? Am I going to get through this? He was looking as he looked to himself. And he says, look at verse 9, verse 1. The first part of verse 9. He says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. That means tonight that if you and I look to ourselves to make it, we're just not going to make it. He didn't stop there, though, did he? He says that we should not, and here's the reason, and this is why we need to point this out tonight, that we should not trust in ourselves. Aren't you glad tonight I'm not telling you to trust in yourselves? That's kind of what the world says. It's up to you. God's done everything that he can do, but now you need to do this, and if you'll do this, it'll be okay with you. And you know what you do? You leave the door, you leave the church, you leave the building, and you're going out trusting in myself because I've got a hold to the Lord now. I've got him hard. I've got him held on, and I'm going to hold on. I've laid hold on him, and I'm going to hold on to him, and I'm going to trust in myself to do that. And you know how much peace is in that? You've got the sentence of death in yourself, and therefore we're not to trust in ourselves. But let's just trust him to hold on to us rather than you and I trying to hold on to him. Should we hold on to him all that we can? But I'll tell you, don't trust in that for your home in heaven. Don't trust in that to get you through here. Trust in what he did and his finished work. And you'll have the help that you need. He said, we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God. Listen to who we're trusting in. In God which raises the dead. I think we ought to trust in the God who can come to a Lazarus who's dying, who's dead and in the grave. Here he is, and he comes there, has been there 4 days, and would just do nothing but stink. And the Lord comes and says, Lazarus, come forth. I'm telling you, Lazarus didn't have any strength to come forth on his own, but he came forth. You know how? By the power of Almighty God. One day, that voice is going to be heard, and the dead are going to rise, both the just and the unjust, when the Lord returns, and there's going to be a resurrection, and those that are alive and remain are going to be changed, that is, of God's children, in a moment, and a twinkling of an eye, and those that are his children are going to come forth from the grave, formed and fashioned like unto his glorious body, and those that are not his children are going to be raised and judged and found guilty and condemned justly and rightly, and all right will be made wrong, and we're going to go home to be with the Lord forever, to be there in heaven in immortal glory. And that's the one we're to trust in to get us through. I need some help tonight, don't you? Can he get us through tonight? Brethren, he already is. We are in the ship. We should just enjoy the ride. He's already taking care of us. He's already supplied. He's with us tonight. Wherever you are, whatever's going on, he's with you tonight. Supplying just what you need. May we lean on him. May we trust in him so that we trust in him who raiseth the dead. Get verse 10. Y'all don't want to leave that. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, he says, who delivered us from so great a death. You know what that means? If you're alive tonight spiritually, he delivered you from that. You know how you got alive? You didn't make your choice for Jesus and then become alive. You were given life by the almighty power of Almighty God, just as he said to Lazarus, come forth. He said to you somewhere along the way, come forth. And the second verse of Romans 8 became a reality for you. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. You know what that is? That's a new birth. And it's a law that's in your heart now. It's a law that he's given to you. It's an ability and a strength that allows you, when necessary, to have run through a truth. And by my God have I leaped over a wall. In other words, gives you strength to do what you could not do otherwise. You have the ability to believe in him where you did not have it before. You have the ability to love him where you did not have it before. He gives you the ability even to turn the other cheek when it's time to do that. And when it's time to stand strong and stand firm in the faith, he gives you the strength to do it. You ever feel like, I just don't have the strength to do it? Well, I say you do. Not in you, but in him. Let's trust in him. He says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? We're going to just close with verse 25 because I know everybody here is tired. I want to just read this last verse. Verse 25. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Aren't you glad you have him? Aren't you glad you can call on him? Aren't you glad he's made the promises that he's made and you can count on all those promises to be kept? Aren't you glad he's faithful? Aren't you glad he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? Aren't you glad you didn't have to get a hold of him and hold on to him? But he came to you and touched your life and made you alive when you didn't have any concern about him. And the Apostle Paul says, as I battle this fight between the old flesh and the spirit, I'm not going to trust in me to be able to win the battle. But I'm going to trust in the one who rose from the dead, who's seated on the right hand of the Father, who's making intercession for me, who is my intercessor, who one day is going to come and take me home to be with him forever and ever. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, that is with the inward man, I myself serve the law of God. In other words, I want to press towards that as much as I can. But then I have still, because it's God's will at this time for us to fight this battle with the flesh, the law of sin. And all I want to say to you tonight is you fight the good fight of faith. You lay hold on eternal life. That's not how you get alive. It's how you find life. And when we walk after the inward man, and we walk in the spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And to be carnally minded is death. That's to be fleshly minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? It's life and peace. May the Lord help us to walk in that, find it more and more. And in the midst of the storm, remember that the Lord's able to make you run through a troop and a leap over a wall, whatever that is. You can say unto this mountain, get thee hence, whatever that mountain is, whatever that needs to be moved, whatever's in his way. It's his way, not my way. And when I walk in his way, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. 398. 398.